It's on their Dropout channel, but they put most of the episodes up on YouTube now, so.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Jonas War Gamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to the 40K Adjacent Show with me, Rob, and Val, and Pete, the first of 2021. Pete, hi.
Hey.
And also Val, hi.
The future.
I didn't think we'd make it to 2021.
Guys, there's like a lot of... There's a lot of movies that indicated that we'd be in the apocalypse right now, right? Like
all of them.
Like Mad Max was set in 2021.
The original Mad Max. Hot pants right now.
Yeah. Sequest 2021, wasn't that one?
Sequest DSV.
Yeah, wasn't that in 2021? There was the cartoon version also. Like, there's like, man, 2021 was going to be a fucking rocking year, and then we got this shitty apocalypse, nowhere near as good as the what they were recording.
Yeah, they were having way cooler. Go on, Paul, sorry.
When was the Demolition Man future?
Ooh.
I don't know. Who cares? Taco Bell wasn't a bad apocalypse.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, the three seashells.
This is coming from a guy who just ate salsa on a pizza because there was nothing on the pizza, and Rob had to sit through it at 4 in the morning.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell won the fast food wars back in the...
I can't remember. Stupid Rob Schneider with all of his
Demolition
expository
Man was
dialogue.
2030, so we've still got time.
Whew. We've still got time. Good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2032.
I missed
okay.
Taco Bell. I miss Taco Bell.
Is it still a thing?
Well, no. I mean, it exists, yes. You can still purchase Taco Bell.
I had a, like, get-rich-quick scheme once, which was...
To eat Taco Bell? It's a shitty idea.
And sue them. Eat Taco Bell and sue them. No, it was to get a Taco Bell franchise and put it next to all the university bars in my town that I went to university in. And I thought I'd be a bajillionaire. But then I also thought, that's a lot of barf. And I didn't want to be responsible for that. So I stopped.
That's very similar to my billion-dollar idea, which is... Like, I have this in the UK, so I don't know if you guys, you have a similar thing here, but most of our UK food late night shops, so our takeaways, which you would go to after you'd been out, you would get yourself a good old kebab.
You'd get yourself kebab.
A kebab. Kebab. Yeah, a kebab. Although there were eventually a bunch of late night chicken shops as well. But because most of those, again, at least in Nottingham, were owned by Asian people, so generally, they avoided pork products, yeah? So I saw there being a gap in the market, and I thought about setting up the cup of tea and bacon sandwich shop that you would just go late at night. And that's all. It was like super stripped-down menu, not like, what 18 things do I want? It was just those are the only two options, bacon sandwich and cup of tea, or just bacon sandwich or cup of tea. Only two options. Yeah?
What was the jam situation at this place? Like, could you do a jam
that's
sandwich?
That's a morning situation, Pete.
Morning situation. I'm sorry.
Although I just
ate salsa and a pizza for breakfast, so.
I got jam on my oatmeal right here.
Jam.
Man, I like that your oatmeal's blurred, so it looks like we're censoring something, like placenta.
Are you eating well now for 2021, Val? Is that what we're learning?
Bringing it back.
Not really. I mean, it's as much jam as oatmeal, so. You know, it's a balanced breakfast here, guys. No, I haven't made any particularly overt resolutions. Why don't we do that right now? Let's make some resolutions here, guys. What are we doing?
Tell me, Pete.
I resolve to hang in there on the Adjacent Show for a full year.
Oh, that's nice.
I was thinking that for England, I figure we get this puppy to 1 year, you guys will be out of the woods.
Well, we've just gone deep into the woods. We're finding out what the animals and bears are up to, and potentially making a Prince of Thieves style fort now in the woods.
I forgot about the fort. I'm into it.
Whoa! What a treasured piece of my childhood imagination.
Yeah.
It shouldn't take too long. How are you guys doing over there? Are you guys moving to a new lockdown, or what's the situation?
No. But my province locked down like just over three weeks ago. So we're almost technically done it. We're supposed to be for a month. I'm not sure if they'll extend. Our lockdown isn't as severe as yours, but.
In Ontario, I think we have been on as severe as your lockdown. And the thing is, though, like, we've been, I'm so used to just not bothering, like, trying to see people or go places that it just, the only way it's really impacted me is occasionally I'll try and go into a store and it'll be locked and I'll be like, nah, fuck. That's basically it.
Rats.
Son of a.
I like that you get close enough to know that it's locked. You like shake the door a bit, like lights are off.
Rob,
but...
Rob, if you've spent enough time in Toronto, like you just never know until you try the door.
Yeah, you give that thing a jiggle.
Every time I've been there, I've been like, let's go to this restaurant. It looks cool. And I'll walk up right up to the door. Lights are on. I'm pretty sure there's people in there. Door's locked. And you're like, what is happening? Does anyone actually do anything in this city? And mm-hmm. then a security guard yells at you. Mm-hmm. Get away from there. That place they is obviously closed.
Yeah. Security guards.
Oh, dear.
They work overtime.
They must be having a great time right now. There must be so many shifts going for security guard.
So much God. Yelling at people.
Stop me if buildings. I told this anecdote already, but I was at my office and there's like this like underground connected series of tunnels in Toronto called The Path because we have to be below ground during the winter, especially those of us who can build tunnels to hide from the elements.
Torontonians are effectively Morlocks.
Anyway, so I'm trudging through this place, which is now essentially abandoned and given over to the mutants. And I hear like this like rumbling noise off in the distance, and this pack of friggin' teens on skateboards came rolling through, like I'd say 7 or 8 of them. I'm like, what? It's the 90s. And then they like peeled by, like I'm looking at them jaw dropped. I had JVP with me too. I was like, look, kid, skater punks. This hasn't happened for decades. And then literally like a minute or two later, like an angry security guy with like a rubbery fucking nightstick, like, came running by chasing the kids. It was fantastic. It was beautiful. That's the whole story. Thank you.
I don't think skater kids went away. Do you think they went away?
I feel like I haven't seen full-on skater kids doing something aggressively that you're not allowed to do.
Foul showing his bougie attitude about things.
Probably you just can't see them from that high up the skyscraper.
That's
true. To you, they look like just people walking fast.
Running abnormally fast, yes. Also, I feel like in Toronto, a lot of them just transitioned to hoverboards at some point, just seamlessly turned into the future. Oh, it was nice. It was delightfully analog.
Wasn't that meant to be now?
Well, yeah, I know. But I mean, it was kind of a, like a sudden transition that no one called out. When I see like the first 2 years I saw people on hoverboards, I would try and stop them or talk to them and engage with them about the fact that they were living in some sort of future paradise of you know, personal wheel transportation. No one would ever engage with me. I hate that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd be like, hey, what is this? And they'd be like, or I'd be like, how much range do you get on that? I mean, like, is it like 3 blocks? Like, I'm imagining Pow Pow Power Wheels from when I was a kid. Couldn't get down the street with those things.
Well, you have to think about, like, the sort of person who's going to be purchasing those. They haven't got time for walking. Yeah, they haven't got time for stopping. Like, you know, you want to find someone with a cane. Those guys will talk to you all day. They barely want to walk.
One of those red scooters? Yeah, you're right. I should start with them.
A rascal? Start with the rascal owners.
Yeah, those guys.
No one ever asks you, Rob. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thanks so much. I played a game of TTS this morning. So because we're in full lockdown and because I think I'm managing most of the projects that I have going on quite well. So I brought the breakfast battles back. So I've been doing those in the mornings. Well, first one today, which was super fun. Me and Owen played. I played an absolute stinker, but that was fun because we had a great time. So I've done that, and then everything else is going pretty well. I have been printing loads of terrain, which has been super fun. That's been a fun journey for me and learning. I'm a little bit like there isn't quite as many options for 40K, which I think is genuinely really fascinating. There's ruins. And you're like, cool. And I don't know if you guys, Pete, I think you both will have. I don't know if you guys have seen the excellent terrain for the Art of War guys that they have, their 3D printed terrain.
No.
Yes, I have.
Really good. Not only do they have their own terrain, but they also have their own packs that you can buy, but not as STLs. Like, you have to buy them. And they're marked up, I would say, considerably. But the designs are fantastic. The designs are really good. They like not only do they look really nice, they are functional, and that's kind of my problem with 40K terrain at the minute is finding functional and great looking 40K terrain.
Yeah. The Art of War guys, they went with, I can't remember the company's name, but it's Jonathan Geiger. He's a known Warhammer player who runs the company. And they submitted designs to him, and he printed. And so he's made custom tables for each of them. Jonathan is probably most well known for his interview with Pablo 2 years ago at LVO when he ran his Marauder Bomber list. And
That guy.
And he made the comment about 3D printed models, like because they were like, hey, Pablo's like, so what's going to happen when you get on stream? And then there was this whole kind of quietness about, well, these aren't GW models. So anyway, it was there was a whole thing with that, which was quite cute.
Those
luckily,
Marauder
he lost
bombers with 3D prints. They were gorgeous. Yeah. That guy also he had a bad weekend. But anywho. Unless it's a different guy who brought three Marauder bombers.
I don't know.
Okay.
Was a guy. Why did he have a bad weekend, Val? What did he
do? I don't want to. No. We don't want
to. Are you telling me? Is this the guy who told me that got the clap?
He may have. That might have. It was more. It was. It seemed more like.
Maybe a different person.
Might be. I think it was more like the symptoms of syphilis, where you kind of just go insane. It was more of that kind of a scenario.
Did you have a Marty breakdown?
Well, you see, Rob, because I don't form actual memories, I'm not sure if I'm remembering the right thing. And we've said a very specific person's name.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you giving evidence to the Senate? I'm so confused about what's happening.
And I just don't want to slander a person because my mind is a piece of garbage.
Okay,
it's true. Like very recently, Val went on a long story about a person. And then as the story ended, he said, oh, wait, it wasn't that person at all. Like during a call we had to discuss the Nopen. Like long, in-depth story about how he destroyed this guy at a game of Warhammer. And his day. And then everyone's like, wow, he's a really good player. Good for you, Val. And
I was remember the guy who's not a good player.
Like, maybe it wasn't him then, because I don't think this guy was very good. I was just like,
hey, man, but we got to the bottom of it. And at some point I said, Pete, you know who I'm talking about. It's the guy I was confused for the other guy. And Peter said, I don't know who you're talking about, man. And then 2 seconds later, he's like, that's this guy.
So can I tell you guys about a little TV show I've been watching recently, and this links into the story we're telling. So I've been watching a TV show called Bridgerton. Bridgerton.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. It's on Netflix. It feels it's like Gossip Girl, but in the 1800s. Yes. Yeah. Pete, you've been watching it.
I won't because of the exact description you provided, but I knew of it.
I love it. You're like, yes, no, I won't. Okay, all right. My point is, when do we get to the stage is what I'm asking, yeah? And who will be the pen? It's me. Who will be the pen of the Gossip Girl / lady? I can't remember what her name is. It's like lady. There's like a lady, and what she does is she finds out all the gossip from high society, and then she puts it out as an anonymous letter. And in Gossip Girl, I think they do it via a blog, right? An anonymous blog.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, Nick Hayden already does that, but he's just not anonymous about it. So
is that the kittens one?
Yeah, that's Blood of Kittens.
Oh, okay.
He's been doing it for like 25 years. He doesn't give a crap what anybody thinks. Just like, here's my dramas, boys. Get my clicks.
See, I want someone like really on the in who knows all of the secrets. Mm. And then I want all of the Gossip Girl moments put out there. That would be fun. All of the tea, that would be good. Okay, fine, don't worry about it. I won't suggest that as a storyline. Val, did you know what I was talking about at all? Did that sing home?
The Gossip Girls?
Yeah
a little bit. I know, and also that show I know as well. My darling wife has been sort of watching it half-heartedly, like absent-mindedly. She wants to go back and watch, so I'll probably wind up watching it.
Why don't you get your lady wife? Why don't you absentmindedly tell her your like half remembered stories, but then she could put it out as 40K like information, but like from an anonymous name?
Because you're talking about a person who once turned to me unprompted and said, I would rather die than play Warhammer. And I said, you'd rather not live? Yes. Then play a game. It's just like, yes, I would rather not live. I was like, that's harsh, man. Like,
that's a pretty really strict it. Line in the sand, I would have to say. Like, of all serious. Things.
Damn.
I really only bring that one out for like real serious stuff.
That's why I had to check. I had to check for understanding on that one. I am looking at some beautiful 3D printed train from a person who I may or may not know.
Is this the Dragon Dress thing?
Yes.
That Simon put in the chat. Yeah, it looks good. Looks good. The Anyway, that was just a little side note. Thanks. Right, that all came from asking me how I was, and the answer is great. Thanks so much. I've got some stuff to do. I've got to sort out some work and stuff. But I'm having a great time. Life's pretty good. It doesn't really change for me because, like Pete, it's just I'm just locked. Mm-hmm. Well, like all of us, I'm just locked. So they're like lockdown, and I'm like, so I won't change everything I'm doing every day. The only sad thing is I think the coffee shops are closed now. So occasionally I'd see a human being. I'd be like, I might go and see a person today, and I'd go and get a coffee. But now that's a no. But to be fair, that barista was super annoying anyway. So fuck that guy.
Yeah,
they didn't need that job.
No,
no, they're furloughed. They're nice guys. Right. What about you guys? How are you both? Pete, you been well?
I've been well. I long drive yesterday. I drove my mother-in-law back to the Nine Hells. Helheim, essentially. So good 15 hours of driving, made it home in time to record Chapter Tactics. But really, it was quite the drive because like every time I'd stop for gas, it would be more messages about London locking down and how that was going to impact the Las Vegas Open and all the things I was going to need to do when I got home. So it was good. It was really good.
Oh, does that affect it?
A little bit. We have several streamers from the UK because we wanted to make it international. So like we were going to have games filmed in the UK, and most of them are not going to be able to do it because of the restrictions, obviously. We have one that may still because the streamers kind of live together. So it's probable that there's not going to be an issue, but basically everybody else. So I have to fill slots again. It's a thing.
Why don't all of the streamers move into like a hab block, like Judge Dredd? You know, like a mega.
Oh man, that would be so good.
That'd be so much cooler. That'd be then.
You mean like Necromunda, Rob?
Sorry, I'll do it in world.
Speaking of that, to get off topic, I just read Bloodlines by Chris Raitt.
Okay.
40K mystery novel. A1. A1. Super into it. Like no
what
space
kind of
marines.
What are we talking about here?
It's all like it's part of their new like on the ground or whatever style where they don't do Marines or Xenos or anything. It's just like these are people living in the world in the 40K universe. And it's it was very good. I was very impressed with the book. Anyway, just the Hablock.
Is that the horror range? About it.
No, it's their new Warhammer crime range where they're going like less, a little less sci-fi, more like. Here's it's like kind of like Eisenhorn, but once again, like they like really no sci-fi. It's just like cops and criminals, and anyway, it was really well done.
If you like that book series, there's a really good book series by Peter F. Hamilton, one of my favorite authors, probably top three, called the Starflyer series, where anyway, it's kind of set in the semi future, but it's super super cool, like a great series, and it's crime sci-fi, I think, but arguably one of my favorite series of books. Really,
I'll take a look. I really enjoyed this. It kept me occupied. Oh, my cat kept me occupied like throughout the drive. I was very, very into it. Very into it. Highly recommend.
Investigation into a missing member of a wealthy family leads probator Augusto Zidorov into a web of lies and danger amidst the criminal cartels of Farangantua. As the net closes in, Zidorov falls further into darkness from which he may never return.
Good, good. I got I got nothing that you said in
I remembered I have a soundboard again. It's fun.
I had a whole bunch of thoughts then, and they've all gone now in my head. Yep. So
ruined it.
Ruined it.
You thought you had a thought?
Hey, Val. Hey, Val, you tell us your story now.
Yes, how are you? How are you?
I had a story? Well, I played two of my dearest friends at Warhammer last week. And it was great. Robbo brought out his Harleys, his Harley Queen, Harlequinos, for those
first
of us who studied Commedia dell'arte. Rob is a real pantalone de Besignosi. And then Pete played me with his Blood Angels, and I think I'm trending towards an L. It was inconclusive.
It was still a game.
But I mean,
you would have still scored points.
Yeah. My ability to kill things was rapidly decreasing.
Although, unlike my game, where he pretty much scored points straight off the four, and there was nothing I could do about it.
I think you have like 60 boys left, right?
Have pretty much everything but the Stompa.
No, you lost a squad of 30 boys, the Stompa, and three of your four Defcoptas and your War Boss.
Oh, yeah, the War Boss is dead. That's problematic.
Yeah, you really have nothing that can kill what I have left, given that I have really only lost a Sanguinary Guard squad.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. Yeah, I'd say in that one, the biggest thing that I boo-booed was instead of running up that unit of boys, I was going to jump them and hit you from the behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then failed
to jump. You might have saved you for a turn. Yeah.
I failed to jump. That would have been way better. What can you do? And the old Stomper got stomped again. This time he got et by, what were they?
Hey, you got me, though.
I did beat you. Although you did what I did in my first game of ninth, which was just cede the table and not take any objectives.
I think it was just the army. Like I played the Harleys before, and I just was so concerned about how fragile they are. Right.
Hi, Kitty.
But yeah, it's like a learning curve for the Harlequins as well. I think but they seem like a super fun army. Loads of options. Ultimately, which is fun, and also like. The Stomper, like, love it or hate it, like, it does pose like a big problem piece on the board, which you don't often see something like that anymore. Like, you know, the kind of knight conversation we used to have in the past, like, how do I deal with a knight? And now it's just like, how do I deal with a Stomper? The Stomper's genuinely got a lot of output sometimes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you're on the upper end of the bell curve, and Pete keeps getting the lower end. Like, but the thing is, too, is like when you have like, when like Peter keeps bringing the old heat and being this time you were a bit more overwhelmed. I noticed, Pete, you gave me a lot of different things to shoot at rather than hiding.
Yeah, I did. So I used a different tactic. My plan was very simple. Focus on one side of the board so you ignore the other, make you move to the left or your right, essentially. And then, because I know you love to split fire so much, I figured at best you'd kill two Sanguinary Guard squads and then I'd kill the Stompa. And then you only killed one Sanguinary Guard squad, so it was really easy to kill the Stompa.
Yeah, and the Lift Dropper just completely whiffing on the... I got one hit.
It did. You rolled actually like normal across all your shots. It was the Lift Dropper did two wounds. You did two hits. You killed two guys. But... then you had like the one gun you put into the Sanguinary Guard that did like 30 wounds. So it was kind of like you rolled probably average, but it was how it was split up over the different guns.
Always need that Lift Dropper to do way more than I think it's going to do. I think I got to lower the expectations of the Lift Dropper.
Or just take two of them.
Someone's asking in the chat how you feel about the Custom Stomper over regular Stomper. And you are, of course, talking about the Custom Stomper.
Oh, yeah, of course. That goes without saying. Custom Stompa, until there's a codex and we see what they do with the regular Stompa, is like miles. It's cheaper, first of all. And second of all, it's got way more guns and is just better at being a Stompa. It's got, like, they've fixed a lot of the... Except for stomping, yeah. That's the problem for it. But they fixed a lot of the key deficits of the Stompa. Most importantly is a degradation chart, like the thing, like what happens to it is those wounds go down. It's not nearly as punitive as it was before. So let's say the regular Stompa drops to like 700 points and gets the new chart, then it's like 150 points less than this Stompa. I think you got yourself an argument there. And this Stompa with like the Stompa related strats and war gear that were in Psychic Awakening could actually be involved in more than just the shooting phase. So you could actually use it to go fight stuff. Assuming you can give it an invuln as well, that's a big deal. Like if you could give it a 5-up invuln in combat, that'd be great. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens to the old Stomper when the orcs come out. Because it'd be great to see orc walkers in general get good.
That was going to be my overarching question of the show today. Was going to be what are your hopes for 40k for 2021? Because it really is the bumper year for 40k. like the edition's out. There's an FAQ soon, and I'd like to ask you what you guys want from that as well. So you could throw that in there. So there's the FAQ, and then there's all of the codexes all year. Obviously, being able to play in game would be a big part, but there's so many things that are going to happen this year. It's going to be super fun. Marines are out the way, so it's probably not another codex that's going to come out this year.
Yeah, only like six of them.
Well, no, there's the supplements and stuff, but what I mean is like the whole new. So that there's a lot of like really cool stuff. So I just wonder what you guys are like most excited about and were interested in seeing.
Great.
I'm always excited about new codexes and what they're going to bring to the game and how they change everything. Based off all the rumor and scuttlebutt, I'm really excited for the Orc Codex because it seems to be that people feel that it's going to be a game changer, if any of them are. So that will be a big thing for me. Death Guard, based off what we've read, probably really upends the meta just because they do look to do decently well into White Scars. We'll have to see if that's true. But yeah, like I'm just always excited about new codexes. So that's really all I'm going to be excited for coming up. I'm super boring, but that's what it is.
What about the campaign books as well?
No.
It'd be cool if I had limitless time, because then maybe I would be into that stuff.
It would be cool if they didn't make campaign books with new rules in it.
Yeah, that's still scuttlebutt that we haven't figured out whether or not that's a thing yet.
It seemed pretty well written into the article that was a plan.
That there was new rules in it?
Yeah.
No.
For competitive 40K, which whatever, maybe it's cool. We'll see. We'll wait.
It's okay. Funny. We were bemoaning this, I feel like, months ago, and we still haven't gotten that book, eh? I guess it was because it was wrapped up with the Death Guard thing.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Can I just thank Tank for donating £9 to the show, which takes us to £69.69. So the flawless number.
Lovely. Oh, what are we? trying to earn for today?
Well, remember when Pete donated that money and he was like, "Stop being poor." So number one, obviously, always a goal. Number two, I bought the printers. But I hadn't realized that you have to put the things in the printers. The material cost wasn't factored in. So materials is the answer. Plus the printers are hungry, baby. Got to keep feeding them. Putting a hole in the machine. That's what I'm doing.
Fire that hole in. What about...
shit.
Oh, I know. Melting down sprue. Melt down some sprue.
Well, Games Workshop are doing that, aren't they?
Really? They're recycling sprues?
Yeah, they've got an initiative planned for rolled out as part of their investor stuff, but also I specifically heard directly from someone. One of their plans to announce was sprue bins in each store, and then they'll take all that in and then melt it down and recycle it to people.
Well, that's kind of neat.
That's great. It's cool, right?
I think there's a YouTube channel where there's a guy that does that. Like, he explicitly melts down sprues and makes GW models out of them. Like, it's a whole thing, and it's pretty fascinating.
That's probably where they got the idea.
Yeah, they probably were like, man, this guy's doing it by himself.
We could do this. I think it's super effective for them, and it also makes them look good, maybe probably lowers their carbon footprint, which is great. Like, so then they're like, but then they also get all of that plastic back for free. So.
I'm just going to throw that out there. I think of all of the costs the Games Workshop has, I'm going to guess that plastic bits, probably not the biggest one.
Oh, yeah, like, there are people in chat. No one has said who he is, but they're all like, yeah, he made a GUO, he made a Stompa. Yeah, he's...
Does he just make this out of, like, chopped up bits, or does he melt it down?
No, he melts it down and then recasts them.
What?
Yeah.
This is on YouTube?
Yeah. I don't remember...
Did he get a cease and desist? Didn't he get a cease and desist at one point? You could be the master of your own Spruniverse. Perfect.
I just work here.
That's true.
The old GW rule was that you had to use GW product if you wanted to make custom models. So why not just use the sprues, right? So.
It is true.
No, you're right. Why didn't I do that? Like, my problem is I got rid of all the sprues. Mm. So I made a punji stick trap because I was worried about, like, obviously food shortages. So my house is now covered in like small Home Alone style traps made out of sprues.
Yeah.
Val, you seem fascinated by this. No.
Oh, I'm just trying to find. I wrote Meltdown Sprue Make Model into YouTube. And I feel like I might have found this fella.
Stu Flynn says, I used to work for injection molding and we use recycled stuff, but you could only put a small percentage of regrinding with new pellets. Might not be that cost effective, but looks good for the environment. That's true as well.
Also, like, because their stream of plastic is their plastic, like, it's not made, like, I think a lot of the thing about recycled plastic is that you got a lot of mixed polymers and shit, and like, so like the quality of it's lower. I don't know if it's been because it was reforged, but because it's like not pure. But if your source of plastic is exactly your plastic, I wonder if there would be much of a degradation in quality. It might just be free materials for them.
I just want to be pure.
I love the idea that someone's just taking sprues and just did 3D printed himself entire armies. It's like, this is all your plastic. You're like, that would be a great argument to have. I'd like to see the TO has to say no to that. He'd be like, well, what we meant was, someone's found it, I think. There's also someone who built himself a Necron army made completely out of sprues.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. That's jokey awful. For sure.
That's awful. Okay. Is this the hobby love or a hobby foul? Hobby foul. Let's go for that. All right.
Well, the Necron sprue one, I think, is actually really clever. That one I really liked. I thought that was cool. Where they just literally glued together bits of sprue into all the different Necron things. I like
that. You like that?
I thought it was cool. Yeah. Like, I don't like, because I think, oh, it's just sprue. But I think, I don't know. It's artistic. It's not just like a bunch of sprue. Like the guy like carved and like clipped and made a bunch of sprue into a neat army. I don't think it wasn't like just cheap. It was a lot of effort.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it looks like a lot of effort.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's not as much effort as, you know, watching all of these videos will be, but, you know, I'm willing to try.
What are you looking forward to in 2021?
Well, I mean, most of all, I mean, I'm looking forward to some semblance of normalcy in the scene. Would love to see that. But I guess more specifically, it's going to be interesting because how long will it take? Like, what will Games Workshop do once they can start going full tilt again? Like, are they going to catch up? This was a big question mark coming into. Like after their factory shutdowns, like were they gonna like race to catch up or were they gonna like just basically delay stuff? It feels like they raced to catch up and then had to slow down. This is what it looked like what happened. So I wonder if they're just gonna give up on that and just slow down a bit for the year. And so now the pace will actually slow down, which will change, especially 40K significantly. Because if we go from like 2-ish codexes a month, which was the pace that we were going to be on for sure, to 1-ish. You know, that's half as fast. It's math. And, you know, that'll definitely change the old scene a little bit. It might make orcs take a while to get out, and that's just not good for anybody. I would love to see Killikans, Death Dreads, and Gorgonauts be good. There you go.
That would be great. So you think they might slow the roll of all the releases generally because people? I mean, didn't they have a bumpy year, like their best year ever?
Like, they've already said that they had to, didn't they? I thought they said that they were slowing down to one a month,
at least for the first few months. Yeah,
yeah.
Because like it's now Death Guard, just Death Guard in January, and
Jukari probably after that.
Jukari and Dark Angels in February. Maybe only one of them. So,
and that would this lockdown change anything for them? Or would they be unaffected because you can't make models from home?
I don't know what the rules are. I imagine, so last time full lockdown was like, there was almost no manufacturing as well. But I imagine manufacturing, in this full lockdown, there'll still be manufacturing. Like, because like there's lessons learned from like the last time around. So I don't think that they've got.
We also never talked about Brexit because I thought it was kind of funny because Brexit, the only thing that they really came to a negotiation on was like actual like tangible goods and imports and exports on tangible goods. The thing that the British economy is based on, of course, is services, like most late stage capitalism. And so really the only people who got a good deal out of this or got a deal is Games Workshop. So I think the UK will continue to slide into the ocean, but they will be able to import and export what they need to make miniatures, which is all the rest of the world really needs from England. And anyway, kudos. Good stuff.
That's all we need. And it's really good to know that if I fall on really, really hard times, the very last place of manufacturing in Nottingham is a place I definitely can't work.
Yeah, it's gonna be awful when it becomes like a purely corporate dystopia and they like take over all the social services in Nottingham. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be a real bummer for you.
Yeah, like, my social credit score is gonna be low,
super low, super low,
low, bud. I'll be like, yeah. Hey, bud, it's too low.
I just want some vegetables.
I'm actually really excited for this year. I hadn't really considered how slow the releases might be. I'm very excited for the Death Guard book, and I'm also kind of weirdly excited for the campaign book because the Age of Sigmar campaign books were super fun. I'm just excited for codexes and rules and gaming, really. I think this is like 40k, like ignoring COVID. Like there's so much potential for 40k this year for it just being a sweet ass game. Like it's not like the clusterfuck that 8th was when it landed. Like it seems like it's in a really solid place now. So then, unless the upcoming FAQ throws a real spanner in the works, like it looks like it's pretty sweet.
And there's like all the stuff that was, kind of figured to be happening and just kind of like slowed down. We're going to see what's going to happen with competitive play. Mm-hmm. What is this? What is Miguel Brandt getting up to with his global position on stuff? What kind of things will happen with the ITC? It's all going to be interesting. Can't wait to see what happens. Because everyone's kind of just waiting, right? So there was all these things that would have been in full swing by now, but they've all been delayed. So I'm really, really, I don't know. I can't wait to see what the hell happens.
Same. I'm excited for WTC. See what's going on.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not long away. We'll see. Okay, so those are all our hopes. I thought there'd be more than that, but like, I think what's the standout codex for you both? Vow, is it Orcs? Pete, is it Dark Angels? Is that the
of the ones we know about,
or just any? Which would be your like
Custodes? I mean, it's my army, so Custodes. I really want to see what they do with it to flesh it out and make it an actual codex. So,
well, you got the Forge World half of the range at least locked in.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but I want to see what they do with the codex itself, like with the shield hosts and like, how do they separate them from how elite they've made Marines to kind of keep them in their own, like having their own shtick without being like, well, this is Marines, but you only take 10 of them, right? Like I want more. So how do they separate it?
Yeah, in a game of board control too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also being OPSEC, yeah, that's rough.
Here's one. I wonder if Grey Knights are going to get some model love. I feel like everything so far has had like big model releases with it. And so I wonder if the Grey Knights maybe we'll see if they stay with the old style Marines or if they get an update at all. Because otherwise, GW hasn't released any like mini Marines in 40K since Primaris changed, right? So it'd be interesting if for some reason they kept Grey Knights in the old style.
Well, I am personally, I'm pretty confident, or my feelings are, from the scuttlebutt. You know, you're at a cafe in Nottingham. You overhear something from one guy. Yeah, someone like passes you a few ruples, and you end up with some information from somewhere else. I'm pretty certain that it's going to be nothing but like huge scale revamps for every army. Pretty confident about
that's what it feels like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so like neat. Each range, Orcs. Like we know Orcs are getting like a whole. We're getting new boys. We're getting like a whole Savage Orc line. So like that's going to be a thing.
You keep saying this, and I won't see it.
How was that Gazgul rumor? Pretty good.
Not bad. The timing was off, but it was ultimately accurate.
Okay, I feel Eldar need that huge revamp. So like the fact that like Drukhari makes sense that they're not going to get like maybe like lots of new models. They've already got so because they've had quite a lot recently. Like it's a fairly up to date range,
mm-hmm.
ish.
Ish,
ish, ish. Ignoring like, grotesques.
6 or 7 years. Yeah, that's though compared to most people.
Yeah, whereas Eldar, Orcs, Astra Militarum, like Grey Knights, like
Can you imagine like the one that makes the least amount of sense to me is the Imperial Guard range. Like, I don't understand how that range hasn't been touched. But it's so popular, and maybe that's why. Maybe because it's so popular.
Probably keeps selling tons.
And it just sells, and like they don't have to like juice it ever, so they just let it ride. But like the Basilisk has not changed in my lifetime. The Lehman Russ is more or less the same. They've just added some variants. The Chimera literally has never changed. And then Cadians, which were cool when they finally came out. Like every single Necromunda gang could be a different Imperial Guard regiment. Like, it's like that's literally all the Cadian kit is a less creative Necromunda gang. And yet we don't have it. That was just so strange to me.
There was over Christmas, there was a guy in the Twitch chat who said that he had green stuffed 75 mustaches onto his Imperial Guard. So his entire army was Hulk Hogan.
On Catechin bodies?
Yeah.
He's my hero.
I was like, oh my god, that's great. Reef, thanks for subscribing, bud.
Has there been Warhammer Hero nominations yet? Because we should nominate that guy.
Yeah. Send that out.
He just wins, right? He was like, I'm so tired from green stuff in these mustaches. I was like, I really love that. He's like, I'm tired, but I won't stop.
Get some.
Get some. So that's fun. Can I just an adjacency question? Have you both seen Judge Dredd, the one with Carl Urban?
No.
Really? Yes.
I keep meaning to. And you know what? My mom was offended by the concept of Judge Dredd because in those days we had more proletarian principles, and she didn't like the idea of a judge, jury, and executioner. And there was no irony in the Sylvester Stallone one. So I never got to really experience Judge Dredd the first time around, and then this time around, it's in my Netflix queue, and I've just never clicked on it yet. And it looks great.
Pete, you've seen it. Oh, you knocked your mic, bud.
Yeah, you knocked yourself out, bud. Come on. Dread. Get it together, man.
It's on Netflix now, which is one of the things that came up. So we're talking about the Carl Urban one, is the one. Pete, if we can hear you, I'll say so. I first time around watching it. We got you. So, Pete, what did you think of it?
Loved it. I watched it when it came out twice, and I don't usually watch it more than once.
Cinematography, I thought was brilliant. I thought it was super good. But actually, when I was rewatching it the other day, I was like, how problematic am I? Like, I'm like, why am I so okay with this? He's just like, I'll shoot you now. Like, he's like judge, jury, and executioner. And after everything that happened last year, is really the question. Why I'm asking the question. I was a bit like, do I feel comfortable about this now? Like, it was only the rewatch. Because, like you, Pete, first time I watched it at the cinema, and I watched it afterwards as well, and I, like, huge fan. I thought it was really, really good. And then I watched it after, and I was like, how do I feel about this now in 2021? Like, you know when you watch back things from the past, and you think, Like, I'm a huge fan of original series Star Trek, yeah? That Kirk is my Kirk. He's just like, look, I'm going to punch that alien, I'm going to slap that girl's ass, and I'm going to fucking explore the galaxy. I'm in, right. Yeah? Like, I'm completely in, but then ultimately, like in his position of power, I'm like, it's very uncomfortable how you make those women feel around you. Like, it's not okay. like, this is a refugee from a destroyed world, and then you're just like grabbing her in her quarters and kissing her. It's not okay, Kirk. Yeah, you're not okay. I just thought I'd bring it up.
But at least he's down with the interspecies stuff. Like, he didn't let that taboo stop him.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. He's willing to go outside of the species. So, you know, at least it's equal opportunism. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. What is specifically problematic about this Dread?
There's just insane police powers, I think is kind of the point. I didn't want to get like too much into it. Oh. It was just an adjacency question because it came up to me and I thought of the two people I would ever ask this question of, it would be you two.
But isn't that always kind of the point of Judge Dredd? That like, isn't that kind of always the question of it? Is like, isn't there a bit of a moral conundrum inherent in it?
I've never really explored the fandom of Judge Dredd, so I don't really know. Like, maybe it's meant to be. The point is that it's like, is it meant to be sarcastic?
Or like, at least exploratory on that whole judge, jury, executioner thing.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. I don't know, Pete, if you got any thoughts on it. I just thought it was cool.
No, I wish I could talk right now. The sleep's kicking in.
I'm so sorry, bud.
Hard to be philosophical right now, but I do have thoughts on the concept of Judge Dredd and the sociological recourse of it, and what it started. It's very similar to our talks about 40K and what it started out as in terms of storyline and then what it became. You see a lot of that in Judge Dredd, except when the original writer picks it up. Because he, I think up until recently, he was still doing issues. But yeah, like it kind of morphed, unfortunately, from the what it was trying to do, the message it was trying to deliver versus what it ended up becoming.
I watched Starship Troopers when I was young, and I saw no problems. I was like, yeah, those weak-ass, non-serving bitches.
Like, yeah.
It's taking me time to learn these things, ultimately.
That's true. I think there's a good point in the chat here, which was, he brought up Punisher, or a darker design brings up Punisher. Was Punisher ever ironic? Like, I feel like I've never actually looked at Punisher. Punisher always felt very on the nose.
I think that there have been people that have picked up Punisher and made it ironic, but not...
Originally, he was just a really angry dude who murdered guys in graphic ways. Like, that's what I feel like Punisher was all about.
It was
about.
Very much the start of the anti-hero concept in comic books, one of them, right? So, but there have been versions of Punisher that have been more the other way, right? And then you had, like, Franken-Punisher, which was totally satirical, and anyway.
I was just thinking one of the... Because the reason it came up to me, because, like, Dredd, especially the Carl Urban Dredd, is like... he's not a Marine, but he's like... You know, he's got some cool toys, is what I'm trying to say. Like, and he's pretty like Marine-esque. And it made me think how interesting it's going to be when they get around to doing real life action 40K. And like, and if like, you know, because Pete was just talking about the story he liked, where he actually liked the story where it was like almost non-Marine centric, and it was like more the people in that environment. And it's fascinating to think about what that's going to look like in the future and how it's going to look. Because, I mean, if it's shot and filmed like Dredd, it'll look badass, in my opinion. That'll look sweet. Because if Dredd, that tower block was making me think of, like you were saying earlier, about a Hive City, that big hub block. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, this is a Hive hub, basically. And it's got the cool gangs, and it was all Necromunda, and then they've thrown in this guy. So I was like, yeah, I'm all about that. And then I was just like, oh, I wonder how that would be what it would look like. And also, like, you know, you can't avoid those questions, I think, in that time. Like, it feels like Dredd and Punisher and Starship Troopers were only asking those questions about themselves. So it's going to be interesting watching what they do with, like, the Marine narrative in, like, real life action stuff. Is all that came to me. I was kind of wondering what you, because Pete, I know you're big into that, those story bits. I know Val, you're big into those as well. So it's like, I wonder what you both thought.
I have a much more limited interaction with, like, deep Warhammer lore stuff, so Pete probably can speak to this more. But I like, again, like, cause the internet told me, I started with what they're starting with, the Eisenhorn series. And I loved how in Eisenhorn, like, there was a really big emphasis on the humanness of the central characters and, like, looking on at these characters and things that we take for granted, I think, from a game perspective, like a Space Marine, like, always, like, made Eisenhower feel uncomfortable. Like, they were always, like, very serious, austere dudes. And, like, the description of, like, running into a Chaos Space Marine in, like, the first book was, like, that Chaos Space Marine messed with them. Like, he was, like, pure evil. A lot of the people around him had no concept of Chaos. That's another thing. Like, we know a lot more about the universe than the people in it do. So there's a lot of things you can do just from that perspective that would make, like, a human point of view very bewildering. And if they do that well, then there's a lot of, like, I don't know, unseen evil and mystery that you can pull from it. So if they don't have the, if you have the ground view, like what Pete was describing with the crime novel, I don't know if that was on the air now at this point, but
yeah,
with the crime novel, then you have, like, just this really, really interesting, scary place that you can set all kinds of good and evil in, and you don't necessarily have to take a position on it, as long as you just have humans running around in it.
No, like what I was saying with that book, one of the things I loved the most was how they, because we've talked a lot about how the concept of fascism and all this stuff is kind of lost in a lot of the Marine-centric books, right? Because they set up a hero, they have to set up a protagonist, and that is like deftly on display in this novel. It's the way Chris Wright approaches it is so good. The way you get these viewpoints of these just regular Joes on a planet that's not Terra, that are just like, they don't want to enlist in the Imperial Guard. Most of them know it's all propaganda, like, and it's really pushed as that kind of Starship Troopers-esque propaganda message that's being delivered constantly to these people. It's really, really well done. I really I highly recommend it. And from Chris, for Chris Wright in particular, he's one of my favorite current 40K authors because he's so good at doing that, at giving different viewpoints of the universe. I just also read the second Agents of the Throne novel, which is, focuses on a Sister of Silence and a custodian. And it is just to see the viewpoint of a custodian compared to a sister, compared to a regular Joe, and how he traverses that is so, so interesting and so well done. So
that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. No, all right. That's a good suggestion. I'm taking it on.
I'm going to do those.
Oh, okay. All right. Right. Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure. You guys, thanks to both Val and Pete for being on the show. This has been a 40K Adjacent show. We're hopefully going to make it to a year, not long, 3 months left. So I don't even know what number we're on right now, but we're at a high. Thanks. Happy New Year to you both. And I'm very excited for a brand new year with you two. So big love.
Happy New Year to you guys. Apologies for the abrupt end, but duty calls.
Goodbye. Goodbye, everyone. See you soon.